morning. Good morning, church. Holy smokes, I don't know where that came from. What a great joy it is to welcome each and every one of you this day. What a beautiful morning it is. Cool and crisp in the morning and sunshine in this afternoon with the hope and promise of some great and wonderful things before us. As we worship together, indeed, may we experience the presence of Christ, love, grace, and forgiveness. And as we do, may the peace of Christ be with you. Let's rise and pass the peace of Christ to one another.
Good morning, church. We're having a little glitch, and it may be broken, actually. So I'll just use this. Okay, Penny and Josh, good morning again. And I offer a warm welcome to all present this morning, and especially any visitors. And if you are a visitor and would like more information on the church, please see one of our ushers. Or if you would so wish, immediately outside the double doors in the narthex, you can find a welcome packet hanging on the shepherd's crook, just directly out the doors. I would ask that you sign the registration sheet in the red folders located at the end of your pew. And when you're completed, please pass it back to the center aisle. And if you have a prayer request this morning, you'll find 3x5 cards in those red holders. Complete that card. Put it in a clear holder at the end of the pew, and the ushers will bring it forward to Reverend Lake. I do have a few announcements this morning. Just a reminder that Vacation Bible School has been scheduled for the week of July 11th through the 15th. It's held in the early evening, 6:30 to 8:30, and we still need help. So if you are interested, please see our VBS coordinator, Penny Brandt, who's also sitting at the sound machine. Penny, raise your hand, because she can use your help. Her phone number is in today's bulletin. I do have a reminder, I'm thinking probably from Staff Parish, that coming up is Administrative Assistant, also known as Wonderful Secretaries, and that day is coming up, and there are three cards on the card table in the narthex, and if you can just send a note of good wishes to our wonderful office staff. You can do that after worship. And next Sunday, our outreach committee hosts their annual Spud Bar that will be immediately following this worship service. So come hungry and enjoy a huge baked potato with lots of delicious toppings. We'll also have drinks and desserts as well. And for those that can't stay, takeout is available. So if you've not tasted this deliciousness, it is well worth the effort and would be a great lunch for you. And just a reminder that today is the last day to order Mother's Day flowers, and an order form is in the bulletin if you are interested. And just always as a final reminder, please check the bulletin for other announcements, meetings, and other scheduled events in the life of our church.
Thank you.
Please rise and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response. As the sun rises in the morning, from the highest mountains to the deepest seas, you alone are worthy of our praise, Alpha and Omega, beginning and end.
You alone make all things new.
All praise, glory, and honor be yours forever.
Amen.
Please remain standing for our opening prayer. Follow along with me in our bulletin. Gracious and loving God, you meet us where we are. As we gather in this place, may our hearts be open to hear your voice. May our eyes be open to see your glory. And may our minds be open to perceive the word you have for each one of us. We gather together from many walks of life, but we are unified as one heart in the body of Christ. Holy Spirit, speak to us, guide us, and fall gently upon us, we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
We are receiving new members today, and it's going to be easy for you. You really don't need to turn in the front of your hymnals. All you need is this paragraph on the back of the page. If you look at Baptismal Covenant 1 at some point, you'll see that the majority of that is for an individual who is coming into the fellowship of the church for the first time, where there are those historic questions that are asked, and if need be, that person is then baptized. And then when that takes place, the pastor then looks out and says, and those who are transferring from other denominations, please rise and come forward. And they come in. And then the pastor says, and those who are transferring in from other United Methodist churches, would they please come? And that's who we have today. So we've got a couple here that are going to come and a couple here and here. So come on up. Want to do a little jig while you're coming?
I'm jigging with it.
Why don't you all face them?
Aww.
There's always a whiner in every group.
I'll have cheese with my wine.
I know. So you've seen these faces around many times. The first three individuals here are transferring from Madison Hilltop Church. We've got Mike, Deborah, Michelle. And then next from Circleville United Methodist Church, we've got David and Kim. And who's this little one in the middle? Sophia. Sophie's coming as well. And so their letters are in the process of being received. And we welcome them into this family of the United Methodist Church. And so I would ask that you respond with that paragraph on our worship folders. We rejoice to recognize you as members of Christ's Holy Church and bid you welcome to this congregation of the United Methodist Church. With you, we renew our vows to uphold it by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ that having surrendered by steadfast love, you may be established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal. Amen. Welcome.
Thank you.
Greet them, would you?
Again.
Welcome again. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome, welcome, sweetie. After the service, I'd invite you to come back so they can all greet you as well. You may return.
I didn't know there was going to be duties.
Prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness.
I'll ask that you now stand and join us for our opening hymn found on page 62 of your red hymnal.
Be seated.
Well, good morning. How's everybody today?
Good.
Good. Hey, do you have any rules at home?
Yes.
Like what? What are some of them?
Go to bed on time.
Go to bed on time. And once you're in bed, are you allowed back out again?
No.
What else?
No
jumping on the new couch. Could you jump on the old one?
No.
You don't have any more. So no jumping on the couch. Are you allowed to jump on your bed?
No.
Mm-mm. Have you tried that before?
No.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, you jump on their bed. Okay.
I jump on my bed and my mom's bed.
Oh, okay. So you have a trampoline to jump on. That's the good place. You have one too. So what are some other rules you're not supposed to do? Do you have to clean your plate at dinner time?
Yes.
Yes. Drink all your milk?
Yes.
I don't drink milk, but I'm supposed to now.
Yep. Makes you big and strong, like me.
I'm going to have chocolate milk because I don't like white milk.
Chocolate milk. That comes from brown cows.
No,
it doesn't. No. So what are some other rules? Do you have to clean up your room?
Yes.
Put your toys away?
Yes.
I don't.
Hang up your towel?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to have a conversation with your mom and dad. How about, what's that? Oh, airing all your dirty laundry. Better watch it. Maybe you're going to have to do your own laundry. That'll work. What about, anybody have pets?
I do.
I have three pets.
Are they yours or your mom or dad's?
One is my mom and dad's, and I have two pets.
So who feeds them?
My mom and dad feed my guinea pigs meat because they feed them earlier.
Oh, okay. So what other pets do you have?
I have two.
Two. What do you have?
I have a cat and a dog.
And a dog. Do you help take care of them? Yep. Some fish?
Yeah. And a dog named Roxy.
Oh, a doggy and fish?
One fish.
A fish?
And that's my pet.
That's your pet. You feed it?
Yes.
And clean it? Your face is a little red. Give me five. Yes. It's hard sometimes. Like, I have a fish tank, and I was not really good the last month about feeding them. And I have a plecostomus. It's a side sucker fish. He's about this big, and all my other fish are gone. I think he had them for lunch. I think, yeah. Yeah, anybody need a plecostomus, let me know. I got to find a new home for him or her, it, yes. So we have rules all around us. Sometimes we call those rules commandments. You shall make your bed when you get up in the morning. You will pick up your toys and put them away. You will behave this way in the car, in church. You will play well with your friends. And you know what? Jesus gives us one today. He gives us a rule. You know what he says? You are to love each other. Love one another. He says, because when everybody in the world sees you loving other people, they will know that it's because of me. And they'll want part of that as well. Jesus commands us and tells us a new rule to love one another. That's the best rule you can remember. All right? Let's bow for prayer. Lord God, for these boys and girls, we are thankful. For your love for us, thank you. We pray that we will share this love with everyone. Bless these boys and girls and strengthen them. Be with everyone that cares for them this week. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Children.
scene was strange. New earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the timeless sea. The light of God was on the streets. The gates were open wide, and all who were blind entered, and all one was denied. No need.
Thank you, Diane and choir. That was beautiful. Our scripture reading this morning is from the New Testament, the book of Acts, chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. Hear how Peter explains his actions. Soon the news reached the apostles and other believers in Judea that the Gentiles, those who were not Jewish, had accepted God's word. And when Peter arrived back in Jerusalem, the Jewish believers criticized him, saying, "You entered the home of Gentiles and even ate with them." So then Peter told them exactly what had happened. "I was in the city of Joppa," he said, "and while I was praying, I went into a trance. I saw a vision. I saw something like a large linen sheet being lowered by its four corners from the sky, and it came right down to me. When I looked inside the sheet, I saw tame animals, wild animals, reptiles, and birds. And I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill these animals and eat them.' But I answered, 'No, Lord, I can't do that. I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure or unclean.' But the voice from heaven spoke again, 'Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean.' And this happened three times before the sheet and all it contained was pulled back up into the sky. At that moment, three men arrived at the house where we were staying. They had been sent from Caesarea to find me. The Holy Spirit told me to go with them without hesitation and not to worry that they were Gentiles. Six believers from Joppa went with me, and we soon entered the home of Cornelius, the man who had sent for us. He told us how an angel had appeared to him in his home and had told him, 'Send messengers to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He will tell you how you and everyone in your household can be saved.' And as I began to speak," Peter continued, "the Holy Spirit fell on them just as he fell on us at the beginning. And then I thought of the Lord's words when he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' And since God gave these Gentiles the same gift he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to stand in God's way?" So when the others heard this, they stopped objecting and began praising God. They said, "We can see that God has also given the Gentiles the privilege of repenting of their sins and receiving eternal life." And here ends the reading of Peter's story. And I would now ask that our ushers come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering. Eternal God, you are the great I Am. We approach you with humility. Our hearts are full of gratitude for the salvation you have won for us in Christ. May we find joy as we freely give our prayers and presents, gifts and services to support the ministry and mission of the Church. All of this we ask in the name of your Son, our Savior. Amen.
Please be seated. We come now to the time in our service to lift up our joys and our concerns for individuals and situations in our midst. If you turn in our worship folder this morning, you will see that there are some of our families in our midst who are grieving. Laverne Halza, who passed away Thursday, April 15th, and then Laura Baxter, who passed away just this past Thursday. Her visitation will be tomorrow, 2 to 4, 6 to 8, I believe, at Ott Funeral Home. And then her services will be Tuesday morning here in the sanctuary at 11 a.m. So we'll want to continue to remember those individuals in our prayers this week. If you turn then on the back of our worship folder, you will see our prayer concerns there. Please remember Joan in Forbes Hospital. Other names there in rehab and personal care, those that we continually pray for and on a month rotational basis, and then our service personnel as well. Some additional add-ons, prayers for Sam having back surgery this Friday, prayers for Keely appendix surgery this past Friday, That's your, where to go, daughter-in-law. Brett suffering from a stroke. Prayers for Doris and families in the hospital with an aneurysm. Dawn having a laser for kidney stones. And I have a congratulations. They're out in the narthex. There must be something going on exciting out there. Oh, usher duties. Hey, Joey. Congratulations, buddy. Those of you that don't know, Joey ran in a Boston Marathon and finished. We were texting, I said, I think you are the second person I know that has run in a Boston Marathon and completed. And so congratulations. That's quite a feat. How was your time? What was that? 3 hours and 8 minutes. So to even think of running 3 hours and 8 minutes and not stopping, I'm ready to sit. So that was wonderful. You going to do it again? I think so. Wonderful. Well, congratulations. That's quite a joy and a feat to behold. And family and friends were there to cheer them on. Wonderful. Wonderful. So congratulations again. So we've got a multitude of individuals and situations today, especially we've got places around the world that are flooding, places where the earth has shook, places where there is hatred and war and famine, disease, homelessness. We have it pretty nice. You had a refrigerator with some things in it this morning. You slept on a wonderful bed last evening. Took a hot shower and clean clothes. We take all of those things for granted, but not everyone has those available to them. So let us now unite our hearts and our spirits. Our prayer hymn this morning, hymn number 500, Spirit of God, descend upon my heart.
Thank you.
Gracious and loving God, how good it is to be with you. How good it is, O God, to be with brothers and sisters. How good it is to know that we can come here and be received beyond a shadow of a doubt. Your love, O God, welcomes each and every one of us. And we pray, O God, that our love might be as welcoming. For we know that the world pushes and pulls us in so many different directions. And we know, O God, that there is tension and turmoil in the world. And that not everyone is welcome in the presence of one another. But you say no. You say that all are welcome, and all need to be invited, and all should come. That all need to hear and to receive and to respond to the good news. And that, O God, is our task and our challenge, our calling. Some days, O God, it's easy, and other days it is, oh, so difficult. But we know that you are with us as the Good Shepherd to guide us and to direct us, to send us into those places perhaps where we do not want to go, to proclaim those words that perhaps we don't want to proclaim. But you call us, O God, to live our lives faithfully intertwined with you, and that calls us then to live our lives faithfully intertwined with one another. O God, we pray for your grace and forgiveness in our own lives when we do and say and think those things that are contrary to your teaching. Oh God, we know that you call us to mission and ministry within the walls of the church. But you also call us to be engaged in mission and ministry outside the walls of this building. Out there in the world. The secular world. Where life can be such a challenge. But you are with us. And we are not alone. Thanks be to you, O God. O God, we are mindful that in the book of James, you call us to pray for one another. And so we come to you this day to lift up the hurts and the needs, the joys and the concerns, the celebrations of those in our midst. Those concerns and names of individuals, O God, on our prayer list, those that have been voiced today, and those that yet must be kept silent. O God, you hear them all. And we pray this week that we will be a part of that that you desire to change, to transform, and to make new. May we be a part of your kingdom. May we be a part of the world as it changes and transforms as well, O God, to become a part of your kingdom. O God, we pray that faithfully we will be about the work of the church this week, and that the presence of Christ might beam and shine from the faces of each and every one of us. O God, this is our calling and this is our prayer. For we pray in Christ's holy and precious name, as we share together in the prayer he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. As we make preparations to hear the words of Scripture for us today, they come to us from John's Gospel, the 15th chapter. Please stand with me in body or in spirit. John writes these words for us. When Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I'm with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us today, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Gracious and loving God, for these words of Scripture, we are grateful. And now, O God, we pray that your presence will rest upon each and every one of us to give us a sense of rest, peace, and comfort from those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. For we pray in your holy and precious name. Amen. How many of you grew up with an old manual non-electric typewriter? How many of you still have one? Woo! I was looking for one this week. I didn't want to pay $60 for the one next door.
What's that?
Well, I don't want one now. I wanted it for today. Well, I asked some people. I couldn't find one. Remember that feel of those keys? Cling! That's what it was like, and your whole table shook when that keyboard went back. Each typewriter had its own feel, just like organs and pianos do. Then we shifted to those electric ones, those IBM babies. Wow! I knew a lady that could type so fast she could jam the IBMs. That's fast.
Yeah, she was the ball one. She could jam it.
Yeah. Yep. And again, those babies would go and then they developed the auto correct button with the tape in them and all that jazz. But I remember on mine that didn't have that one, I would pull that sheet out and I'd be reading, oh, there's a typo. So then I'd put that baby back in and you'd go, how close, lined up. Thank God for my typing teacher in high school. She taught me to take a business letter that came in the mail and cut out that window. put that paper back in and slide that window between the paper and the typing key. And when you had the letter you needed to correct where you thought you wanted it to be, hit that letter, and it would type on your window, and you could see how off or how close you were and make those minor adjustments to where you got it in place, and then pull that out and stick in your correction paper. Don't you wish you knew that now? Obsolete information you learned today. Yes. And then we shift to the keyboards. How many of you have just grown up on a computer keyboard? 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5, 6. Good thing you didn't have your hand.
Yeah, I raised it for the typewriter.
Okay. Yeah, and then you have that typing away and clicking away and easy correcting and spell check and grammar check and all of that. We like the feedback that those keys give us. How many of you have a smartphone? You got a dumb one. How many of you, when you're typing an email, a text, or a document, do you get feedback on your keys? Do you get that little pulse? No? Do you know there's a setting for that? Yeah, there's a setting for that because the manufacturers realized after a while that we like that feedback to know that we hit a key. Might not be the right one, but we hit a key. That's called haptic feedback, H-A-P-T-I-C, feedback. I just found out how to turn mine on this past week and did that. So I now get feedback when I type on my keyboard. Jesus says in today's scripture, we all need feedback. And the feedback in the life of the church is that love says a lot about the church community. With haptics in mind, think about the text where this morning is part of Jesus' farewell discourse. Jesus says to his disciples, I'm giving you a new commandment that you love one another. And by this, everyone inside the church community, outside the church community, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. The phrase, everyone will know, suggests that the love for which Jesus is calling us is a kind of haptic feedback. Something that lets not only those receiving the loving action, but also those who are witnesses to it, to recognize that they are in the presence of a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, when Jesus was physically in the midst of the disciples, he talked about loving your neighbor. And then someone came to him and said, well, Jesus, just who is my neighbor? And then we get the parable of the Good Samaritan. Samaritans and Jews hated each other. Now, I don't want any names. I want you to zip your lips for a second. But if you could get away with murder one time, just once, who would it be? Don't say anything. Who would it be? That person is the Samaritan along the roadway that stops and helps you in your moment of need. That person is the one that shows Christ's love to you. That's the person to whom you are called to show Christ's love. Now, when Jesus is no longer physically present with the disciples, no longer physically present with us, Jesus is commanding his disciples to love one another, to have love within this community, within this body, because the outside world is watching and paying attention and observing. When they act, when we act, when the faith community acts in loving ways toward each other, we then reflect Christ's love for us. Now remember that earlier in the evening to scripture that we just heard in John's gospel, that Jesus had just washed the disciples' feet to show clearly for them that loving someone means that you get on your knees and you serve them, regardless of who you are and who they are. And so, in effect, Jesus is now creating in this new commandment a new group. That new group later became known as the church, whose primarily identifying characteristic is that they love each other, even expressing that in service to one another. Beyond that, the group can be as widely diverse as it needs to be. Widely diverse in ethnicity, gender, language, nationality, age, political persuasions, most of the other things that society uses to give us labels, Jesus is saying it doesn't matter. Love them and welcome them. The disciples' love for one another is the essential identifying mark. As John says elsewhere in the scriptures, the letter 1 John, those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. As Jesus said in Mark's gospel, whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. Love says a lot about the community, the church. It marks those who express such love as followers of Jesus Christ, as ones who are obedient to this new commandment, this new rule. It says that we know God. Love is that mark. Love is that haptic, that response. How well do we show love today? How well does it play out for us who claim to be disciples of Jesus Christ today? Is the power and presence of Christ recognizable in ways in which we love one another within the faith community? Do others see and know and understand, yes, they are responding Christ-like, they are a Christian? How does the outside world respond when we do such? Our loving one another is something that tells the outside world that the love of Jesus Christ for them is real because it's being shown through us. Jesus has commanded us to love one another. Let's be glad for those ways in our daily lives and living, those places in the church, in our homes, those places in the community where we are faithful and where we are obedient and when we are loving and the presence of Christ radiates and oozes forth from within us. Let's be mindful of those places where we fail. Where we fail to be as loving to one another as we should, as we ought to be. And let's figure out this week how we can do better. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are grateful for your love. A love that hangs on to us and a love that will not let us go. A love that surrounds us every day. And a love that calls and commands us to go forth into this community, into the world, and to be and share that love that others might see Christ in us. Oh God, send your Holy Spirit before us. Go before us that we might be your loving, giving servants to the world. For we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is found in the Faith We Sing book, number 2223. Gracious and loving God, as we go out into the world, we pray that we might be faithful and obedient to the new commandment that we love one another through serving one another. Send us forth into the world, for we go, O God, in the name of the one who was, who is, and who will forever be. Amen.